Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
You're listening to Acton Law, broadcasting from the beautiful South Burnley. Accept no savagery.
Hello, dear listeners. Welcome to Acton Millwall, the number one Millwall podcast. Thank you for joining us in the aftermath of this afternoon's 1-1 draw up there at Deepdale. Joining me to chew over the cud of what seems to me to be a slight opportunity lost is the man himself, is Mr. Neil Fisler. How are you doing, Neil?
Yeah, not too bad, Nick. Not too bad. Just seems a bit strange. A Friday afternoon in the sun. Very strange. We've watched a game of football. It's like a throwback to the days when you watch reserve team games.
Lockdown football. It does seem a bit kind of odd to be doing it. We're also hoping, in fact, here he is. He's joining the stream right now. We have, for the positive vibes, in a very idyllic-looking blue sky rural location, it's Mr. Harry Warren. How are you doing, H?
You're all right, mate. I'm setting this up on the hoof. I've not done it from the phone before, but... Yes, bear with me and I will get headphones so you'll probably be able to hear me a bit better.
You're coming over loud and clear, mate. We are speaking, listeners, in the aftermath of the aforesaid draw up there at Deepdale. Neil, it was a frustrating game for me. I don't know how you found it. I thought we looked strangely sloppy, strangely nervous, almost like the occasion was overwhelming us slightly.
I think we're getting a bit carried away with this playoff thing. I think, yes, we are in and around there, but we are in and around there. There's, what, 2-3 points difference between us and Sheffield United. So let's not get too despondent. We went up there, and the bigger disaster would have been if they'd have beaten us. But we've got a point. Yes, you could argue that it was a couple of points dropped. We did have plenty of chances. But when you look at it, we are creating chances, and that's a good thing. Whether or not you put them in the back of the net is another thing altogether. But it wasn't too bad. It was a very exciting game of football, I think you'll agree. It was certainly end-to-end, yeah. Wasn't it?
Second half especially, yeah. I suppose what I have in mind, I'm just looking at the other results, and you're right. I mean, to be involved in the mix at all is a huge achievement for the club and for the players. For Gary Rowett, much maligned man at times online. And today was, it was a big opportunity. I had it down as a must win. I think other results have kind of conspired to mean that a draw isn't as bad as it could have been, which is a good thing. But you're right, we are just 3 points behind Sheffield United in sixth spot, as we recalled this show. And, you know, that's some achievement. And I think it's easy to... I think the allure of the playoffs, Neil, are so big, and the chance that it offers a club of our size, the second chances become fewer and fewer and fewer at this stage of the season. That said... After a fairly cold start, though, we conceded an early goal when we were looking sloppy at times and a little bit not switched on, but we did well to get ourselves back into it. And there's a massive, massive opportunity on the 54th minute. I mean, that was a shot from Danny Mack in the air after a nice cross from Jed. And then Keithton Bell hit the crossbar. So we had our opportunities. It's just the eternal Mill problem, not quite taking them. I think let's let it go today.
Yeah, and that sloppy start, it really was a sloppy start. What was that kickoff all about, honestly?
Yeah, that was a very weird thing.
Yeah, it's almost as if somebody had had a bet on there being a goal kick in 5 seconds of the game. So we decided to try and shoot from the kickoff. Probably actually one of the strangest things I think I've seen in a game of football for a very, very, very long time. It just wasn't even close to going anywhere near the goal, was it? And it was straight from the kickoff, as the laws of the game now state.
You can shoot from the kickoff.
Directly from the kickoff without the ball covering its own circumference. And it almost went out for a throw-in. It was
a very strange stuff. I've never seen anything like it. I can't even think of anything close to it. I've never seen an attempt of that kind.
Start really, it was sloppy, wasn't it? Their goal was sloppy. It was
an error in midfield. I mean, I think that was the story of the game, really. I mean, we worked some good opportunities, probably not as many good opportunities as we would have wanted. But the opening goal for Portsmouth, listeners, Preston North End. I don't know where Portsmouth came in from into my head. It was after a bit of an error in midfield. I mean, some of the passes were going astray, allowing them to break. And I thought that Preston actually looked quite a sharply moving side, and they looked dangerous. And obviously the goal, which was an own goal, but it was unfortunate, really, on Murray Wallace, because actually the Preston forward was lurking at the far post, and he would have scored it if Murray hadn't have touched it. So, you know, it went in the same way, one way or the other.
But I think they'd won their previous four home games. And so they're always going to come out and go at us to start off with. But it was just, as I've said, it was just sloppy. You can't fault Murray Wallace at all, because, as you quite rightly say, the forward would probably have scored at the far post if Murray hadn't have tried to have blocked the ball. And it was the only thing he could do. He could only try and block the ball. And yeah, but those things.
Would have been the easiest of chances if Murray had let it go past him. And, you can't hold it against a player that is, for me, a shoo-in for player of the season. But we'll see how that vote works out, listeners. But there he was in the mix again, Neil, on 21, when a really nice cross, actually, from my man in a match today. I mean, Jed Wallace, so much depends on Jed Wallace. He's our one creative outlet, and it was his cross from the right side, if memory serves, which was a bullet header by Murray Wallace to get us back into a game that was looking a little bit like it was gently floating away from us, in akin to a life belt in a sea or something, just floating off in the distance. That was a great goal on 21-0.
Yeah, but I think you're right. I think it did look like as if the game was going to drift. And it was a magnificent header. I think the Preston commentators were saying that it's one of the best headers they've seen for quite a long time, and that their goalkeeper's the best goalkeeper in the league. No, he's not the best goalkeeper in the league, but the other end of the pitch. Yeah. One-eyed Cyclops Northern Bankers.
I was fortunate to listen to Carl and Max. I didn't have that endure the Preston side.
But it was absolutely magnificent. And one thing that did strike me watching the game was we've got quite a good team at the minute, but next season, Daniel Ballard, influential member of the side, on
very
loan.
Very strong today, but Dan.
Yeah. Jed Wallace out of contract.
Yeah.
Let's be honest, he's quite likely not to be around next season. Yeah. But can he get a better club than us? Can he play at a higher level than us? Or is this as good as he can get? I'm definitely in the camp of I think we're probably his level. Some horses for courses, isn't it, with some players? And he's a brilliant player for us. Played in a free role, doesn't he? Kind of roams where he wants to go, and it's quite effective for him. Will he have that freedom elsewhere? Will he be relegated to being a small fish in a bigger pond? I know there's talks of him going, or there was talk of him going to Turkey, wasn't there? But Fenerbahce or somebody, but would he get lost in that kind of standard of football? I think he's probably a very good championship player, could probably play at the lower end of the Premier League, maybe for one of your Watfords or your Burnley.
Burnley, perhaps. A bit, but as a bit part player, Neil, I don't think he'll be the star of the show as he is at Millwall. I think you're right. I mean, Jed is, you know, I suppose it's the eternal question. Did you want to be a big fish in a small pond or a small fish in a big pond? I think he's indulged a little bit of Millwall in a way he mightn't be at a higher standard. I mean, even let's go back to the kickoff. I mean, it was a very bizarre choice of move, but he'll be forgiven that at the Den because he's Jed Wallace, and he'll produce the cross that it was always throughout the whole game. He was our outlet. He's our one creative outlet, which is something I just want to come back to. I'm rambling here, listeners, because we're recording this straight after the end of the game, and it's always a bit. It always feels a bit kind of difficult in the immediate aftermath. But there was a lot of comment online about no Tyler Bury on the bench. We did have Shay Ojo, who didn't feature this afternoon, but no Tyler Bury. And one thing I thought we did lack across the whole game, for me, was just an ability to unpick at times, not a packed defence, but they were a difficult side, Preston. And we just seemed to lack a little bit of imagination at times, Neil. And Gary Rowett's going to make those calls, but to have George Evans and Ryan Leonard on the bench, maybe we could have afforded a little bit of more flair in a must-win situation. I take your pick, listeners. I don't know. I think that comes down to personal taste on Gary Rowett, Neil.
One thing I will say on Jed Wallace before we move on from Jed Wallace, and I answer your other point, I think he'll be back in Millwall within a year. I think wherever he goes, I think it will be one of those situations where it would be like Scott Malone and various other players that we've had over the last few years that have gone away and then come back again. I think it will be one of those types of scenarios. You're actually 100% right. We didn't have... Preston were there for the taking, but then again, I think if we'd have gone too gung-ho, I think they'd have probably gone down the other end.
Well, they looked dangerous whenever they had the ball. You know, I thought they looked dangerous coming at us.
Game. It was one of those hearts in mouth times.
Yeah.
Whenever they got in the penalty area, you thought to yourself, "Oh God, here we go." And they looked genuinely dangerous. And I thought it was a decent point. Yeah. Well, another day we could have gone up there and we could have got turned over 2 or 3 nil. It's just one of those things. I thought that having the earth, we didn't score in the second half, and I think the goalkeeper made 3 saves with his legs, didn't he?
He did well. We had a big opportunity on 54, but I'm struck by the return of Birdsong with the return of Harry Warren to the conversation. Like the St. Francis of Assisi of Achtung Millwall, he's back. We lost him, but now he's back. Welcome back, Harry. That's an interesting point that Neil's just made, actually. I wanted to ask you, if it seems likely that Jed moves on at the end of the season, that point about many's the player that where the Den is their stage. And I do partially kind of know where Neil's going with that idea that he might be back quite quickly after a season, wherever he goes, to earn his money. And I don't begrudge him that at all. What do you think? Do you think he's the kind of player that will make it in the lower Premier League? Is he at that level for you, H?
Whether or not he's in the lower Premier League, I don't really think it's the question. I think, is he a step above us? I think he's a step above us. So, is he a top-level championship player? Is he a Forest? Is he is he one of those clubs that yo-yo between the two divisions? Like, and there's been players that have excelled at those type of clubs.
Yeah,
would he do well there? I think he would, because I think you go to the Premier League to have, you know, your money for 12 months and then you come back down again. But yeah, you made the point that he's our only creative. He is our only creative. And when he doesn't play well, we don't play well. So, you know, he will... I hope nothing but good things for Jed Wallace. I don't think he owes us as Millwall Football Club for the money we paid for him anything else. I think he's been here an exceptionally long time, in the sense that he's already had sort of, we've flirted with the playoffs, what, twice, three times while he's been at the club. Yeah. And we've never quite got there. So is he right to try and better himself and go and test himself somewhere else? I think he is. That's taking the emotion out of it, I suppose. But I think Jed Wallace will go to somebody else, whether it be Forest, whether it be abroad, whether it be, you know, Norwich. I think he'll do well wherever he goes. I think he's that. But I do get the point that if it doesn't go well, he will look for a bit of home comfort and maybe come back to Millwall like so many have before him. Sort of Steve Morrison springs to mind.
Neil Harris.
Sort of as a recent one.
Yeah.
Neil Harris. Yeah.
Scott Malone. Yeah, I mean, well, isn't he?
Scott Malone. Yep. Scott Malone. I mean, George Saville. There's a few. But I think very few have come back, probably other than Neil Harris. Very few have come back and hit the heights that they were at before. Maybe Scott Malone to a certain extent, that he's a better attacker now than when he left, but defensively he's probably the same. So I'm not too sure on that one. But I think Jed Wallace, look, at the end of the day, whatever happens with Jed is we will be a weaker side without Jed Wallace in it.
Undoubtedly. I definitely agree
with that.
Other results have conspired. I thought today was a must-win, boys, today, but
it wasn't.
I'm just looking at the results here. Loss for Sheffield United. I think
Sheffield United beat, are a joke,
mate.
Didn't they? Somebody, a team that
they were losing all game against Reading. So can see, I think they equalised in like the 88th, and then conceded straight away again in the 89th. So you know, typical playoff football when it matters. I just no one wants to finish sixth. It's horrible. It's awful. Like, this is the thing with Millwall. It's the hope that kills you, and they're not quite willing to kill themselves off just yet. But the positive of that is that, you know, we're still in it. But the unpositive of that is that I'm feeling like I'm going to have to fucking book a train ticket to Bournemouth. And I thought we'd be out of this by now. You know, it's the scene in The Godfather. Just when I thought they were out, they dragged me back in. You know?
I think a repeat word I wrote down whilst I was watching the game today was we look nervous. And I think, but that nervousness, when you look at these other results, I'm just looking at AFC Bournemouth 0-0 versus Middlesbrough. Again, result they probably would have expected to have prevailed in second spot. And the others we've mentioned, Sheffield, Blackburn, someone. I mean, the stakes are so high at this as we get into these last few games. It's just, what, four games to go now, boys? And, you know, I didn't think we were as nervous as those results would imply at those clubs. So, I think it's going to be, to be involved at this late stage. I mean, Easter Monday now, we've got to play Hull City. We've got to win that, I think. Otherwise, it does start to just...
we need to win. We need to win every game we've got left. We need to. Yeah. That is as simple as it is. I don't think you can say it any other way. Look, let's be honest. I don't care what you're doing on Monday. I don't care if you've got the hangover from Hull. It needs to be biblical Monday. That we need to start 1-0 up. We need them shaking before they come out there. The tunnel, because that's how we've only got two games left at the end, and we've got to win both of them. So that's in our control to control. We this season know that if the den, like, we don't win when we're behind, right? So if Millwall concede first, we don't win, because we haven't won since Stoke early. When was that? Back in October, something like that. When we've been behind. So
coming from behind, you
we
mean?
Have to oh, start.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah. So we have to start right. We have to that's team and support in some ways, because I think sometimes we, me especially, on this podcast have said how flat and boring we've been at home, and I think the fans sort of go there and expect to be bored to tears in some ways, but still grind out results. I think maybe the handbrake, we almost need to take the handbrake off in these four games, because sometimes he needs to embrace den chaos, is what I'm saying. The chaos of the den on a chance of playoffs, that needs to happen in these two games. When you go away from home, if you want to try and nick a point away, nick the 3 points away at Bournemouth, and I can't remember what the other away game is, but the Peterborough...
Birmingham.
And, yeah, so you've got... Well, I mean, look at them. I mean, they were 2-0 up today against bloody Coventry, and they lost 4-2. So, 4-2. You know, the champions, and that's all four goals. I think that was one goal just before half time, and then three in the second half. But they're it's not in our own hands, but we can only control what we can do. So if we win four games and we don't get to the playoffs, that will still be a magnificent last four games, if you understand what I mean. You know, it's a massive ask to do that. It's massive to win two on the bounce in a championship, let alone win four. So, you know, it's a very long shot.
I agree.
We are like, we're the 100-1 shot on the international. You know, sometimes it comes up, but you're not getting any money for a place in this one.
We are capable of winning them. Yeah, but that's the thing. I think one thing we've proved this season, for most seasons, actually, is we can punch above our weight. And there is a togetherness. Me and Nick have spoken about it, when this team is capable of delivering when they need to deliver. They've shown it time and time again this season, especially during that injury crisis when we only had, 14, 15 players. They really were capable of pulling their fingers out and getting the results when it matters. So it's four cup finals, isn't it? Something like that.
Yeah.
It's a horrible old cliche. But you're right. Harry's actually right on this. Yeah, we need it to be evil down there on Monday afternoon, don't we?
Achtung, Mehlball.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
To today's game, Neil, I mean, I think you'd agree. The first half was, it was one each. We came out of our shell more in the second half because we have to, as we did against Barnsley. And we need to be out of our shell pretty much from the start, because that's going to bring the crowd on side. And I think you're right, Harry. We call it the not-so-secret weapon at Millwall, because if it's flat, then... And it was a bit flat today, but then it is Preston away. It sounded so on the TV anyway, on the stream. Then it's just hard to get it going. And four games to go. So I wanted to touch on, boys, if we can, the strangeness of football, which is the sacking of Sean Dyche by Burnley with, I think they've got eight games to go in a relegation fight with Premier League status on the table. Football's a very strange business, Neil, isn't it? I mean, the time to have sacked a manager, I would have thought, in Dyche's case, would have been some a couple of months ago, perhaps, when you've still got some time to make some changes to a squad.
Or an international break.
An international break, but I mean, football and football chairmen are strange beasts, so it's hard to read into that. I mean, we're particularly interested, listeners, because obviously he's an ex-Millwall favourite player from a great season. Beyond that, he's Burnley's manager. But I just found it an interesting choice of moment to drop the axe. You'd have thought you'd let him get relegated and then maybe drop the axe at the end of the season, logically.
Yeah, I think they've got an American owner, American consortium that own them. They probably know absolutely jack shit about football, to be quite honest.
Because, square root of fuck all.
Yeah, because what they've actually done is they've actually added the advantage to Everton, haven't they? Yeah, sometimes in football, decisions are mystifying, and that happens to be a mystifying decision. So maybe.
I mean, the only way that this gets any funnier is when Everton sat Benitez, it turns out that Burnley appoint Benitez and Benitez gets Everton relegated by keeping Burnley up. That's the sort of the circle.
That would be the film script, wouldn't it? If we couldn't,
yeah, it would be. The funny
thing is, they're thinking of getting Sam Allardyce in until the end of the season.
Doubling down on 4-4-2, isn't it? That's going. I am going to play 4-4-2, whether or not we stay up or not, basically.
Or maybe Holloway, maybe get him in. Something to do with motivations.
One thing this does reinforce is how lucky we are to have John Berylson, who is an absent owner most of the time. Let's face it, he does live on the other side of the Atlantic.
Stability, Neil, isn't it?
I mean, do silly things like that. You just couldn't imagine John Berylson if we're at the bottom of the or towards the bottom of the table at this point of the season, you were saying to Gary Rowett, okay, you can go now. Three or four games to go when you've still got half a chance of staying up. It's just unbelievable.
It's going to be an interesting period ahead. I mean, just on that point, I mean, we have nothing to base this on, listeners, but I mean, you know, we have the end of the season coming. I'm presuming that Gary Rowett will want to stay into next season because he sees this as a project that he's moulding in some way. But there's quite a number of players to be cleared out at the end of this campaign, wherever we finish in the table. I mean, Harry, I mean, I know your position's clear, H. I mean, you wouldn't be sorry to see him go if that were to come to pass. But would a Dyche-style manager, I don't think we can afford Dyche, but would a Dyche-style manager be more up your street? Or what would you have in mind for Millwall?
I just think the managerial merry-go-round at the moment will throw up a more comfortable fit. And that's my opinion. I can't see Wayne Rooney staying at Derby, whatever he says. I can't see Frank Lampard staying at Everton. I do think Gary Rowett wants to be Derby County manager at some point. I do think that is a natural move. He is a more of a northern-based man. I think there will be some big clubs that sack their managers this season at the end of the summer. And he's the media's darling, isn't he, Gary Rowett? He loves a bit of Sky television and a bit of PR, so... I can look at the end of the day, he's done an okay job at Millwall in the sense that he's not got us relegated, he's kept us upper mid table.
That's
harsh.
We're
on the brink of the playoffs.
Okay job,
but we are on points.
That's harsh.
Is it any good? Is it any good though? That's what I'm questioning. Is it any good? If we get to the playoffs, right? This is the question. If we get to the playoffs, right, do you want to go up with this team? I mean, we all want
to
go up.
Yeah, I do want to go up. Yeah,
I really want to go up. Absolutely,
go
right.
up. Yeah,
but we will get battered. Absolutely.
Well, I was just reading. Manchester City are using the Den as their training ground this afternoon for the FA Cup semi-final.
What have we given them to do that? Are they going to moan that all their players are now injured by using it? Is that what they're going to say?
Well, it might actually transpire. Well, after Pep's been down to the Den, this afternoon, he might say, fuck it to Man City next season, and I want to manage
this
Millwall.
This is the place for me. I want to eat at the Millwall Cafe.
Millwall Cafe has done him a fry up. He wants to go.
I mean,
I know I'm being.
Of course, we want to go up. Of course we do.
But the point is that he's had. There have been large periods of this season where it has been dreadful. I know we are where we are, and that is due to mainly a fantastic 8-game run that dragged us back into it. There has been, he is a streaky manager. We've had a run in his tenure where we didn't win for, I don't know, 6 months, it felt like, during the middle of lockdown. And I know that's difficult on other people. And if it hadn't been for lockdown, I don't think he would have survived that. I just think that he's got a massive job to do in the summer. And the problem I've got with that is that I don't trust Gary Rowett to do that job. So therefore, you know, I think he's done a good job with what he's had, but his actual recruitment has been very poor while he's been in charge of Millwall.
Now Millwall might do the recruiting for him. Yeah, but that's the modern way of football, isn't it?
Aldo left under him and returned under him. So someone's made that decision. You know,
I would suggest it was Steve Kavanagh that made that decision.
Well,
but
again, whether that's right, wrong or otherwise, but unfortunately, the managers are the ones that pay for that. I'm just saying that in general, I don't think that this squad has really been built on anything that, you know, that Rowett's brought in revolutionary signings. Malone's the next lion. Bennett's decent. I can't deny that. Afobe's been decent, but that's on loan and it's not permanent. You know, there's Saffel we've brought back on whatever we've bought.
On the news at Den is that there's possibility of Bennett and Freeman still yet to play a part in the season. I mean, you know, we've mentioned already that we need three out of four wins, preferably four out of four wins from the remaining games. So, you know, players are coming back. I know what you mean, Harry. I'm not unsympathetic to the idea that some of the football we've seen at times has been pretty
dreadful,
tough to watch. Yeah, I mean that's a fact. I also think it's true that some of the signings we're making. I mean, Afobe, it wasn't his best game today, Neil, was it? Afobe, I thought he had one of his. He can look lazy at times in a way that's possibly unfair on him, but I think there's a level of skill in that player. I know maybe the jury's out on Oliver Burke a little, but you know these are players that have come from a level that is a step forwards from what we've been used to at Millwall. You know, there's an argument that if Gary Rowett does stay, that's the kind of level of squad that he's going to look to, or he's going to be expected to build for next season's campaign.
But it's all too old. That feels very Holloway-esque. Is my concern. Yeah. That's what I'm. Right, I think Ryan has it right. I think Millwall looking in that particular area, we can't outspend people to get those type of players. So, is that the right model? That's my problem with it.
Yeah, I think we've spoken about model before, and my model would be to actually shop in the lower divisions, bring players through, and then sell them on for. Yeah, with the Peterborough kind of Brentford model.
I'm always told I'm the pessimist as well, like sitting here going, well, we are 4 points off of the playoffs. Like, I'm sitting here going, oh, yeah, what the manager got?
We're three points off of the playoffs, actually.
Oh, was it 3 points? Sorry.
We've got Coventry, Blackburn and Middlesbrough in front of us. That may be a problem, other clubs in front of us.
Maybe a problem that we're not in the playoffs, yeah.
Yeah. Well, your chest will be lighting up, H, that's for sure, after this.
The fan mail's going to roll in for you, Harry. You're away in a beautiful spot there out there, and you should be mellow, mate, out there in the country.
I'm very mellow, to be honest. Listening to this mob talk about Ipswich is the funniest thing in the world. That's another thing. Be careful what you wish for, I suppose. The things with Rowett, he just doesn't push my footballing buttons, shall we say. There's not, you know, he doesn't do... We play a passing style of football where the passing's not very good. You know, like this is the style is supposed to be there, and we still grind out results, and that's good. But I think that's, you know, the clear out that you've talked about, the amount of players that have to go, we don't tend to do very well with that. And when our most creative player leaves, we are going to be a lot worse off for that unless we replace him with someone that does what Jeb Wallace does. And we probably need two players to play like Jeb Wallace does to equal his turnover. So whatever he creates a day, say he creates on average 5 chances a game, you're going to have to get 2 players to do that, because that's normally what their standard is. He's one of the best players in the division for creating chances and taking chances. You know, it's mad. Like, it's mad that no, you know, we can't do anything about that. But that is my concern. My concern really isn't the manager. It's in the sense that we are losing our best player in 4 games' time unless we get to the end of season tournament. And I don't know whether or not I trust this manager to find that replacement from someone that I don't know about.
You're going to be enraging the listeners, Harry Warren. You're going to be enraging the listeners out there. Neil, Easter Monday.
Look, if we get promoted... Give him, Jesus, yeah, give him.
Oh, you think my joke? I was just going to say to Neil, Easter Monday's a big day for comebacks.
Coming off the cross, yeah.
And you nick my joke.
I'm not Judas, sorry, I do apologise.
We've lost him, Neil.
Oh, thank God for that. Yeah, no, I do take your point now.
Harry's been lost, listeners. Well, I think that might have been an act of God of that profanity there.
Yeah, it was actually an act of Gary Rowett, I think. to be honest, he is partly right. Yeah, it is a massive summer. We've got a lot of out of contract players, and there are players like Kefden Bell. Do you keep or do you let him go?
Yeah,
a player for me who blows very much hot and cold. Yeah,
I'm a phobe too, Neil, as well. I mean, you know, we've said it already. I won't labour the point because the whole team weren't on it really overall today. But when he's good, he's very good, and when he's bad, he does look like he doesn't languid. You know, it's very odd.
All strikers, isn't it? I don't think it's him. I think all strikers like it. Bradshaw probably didn't have the best of games today, did he?
He came in late. I mean, I thought he was industrious, which was something we were lacking at times earlier on in the match. I'm aware that we are 3 points off of sixth spot, which is historically a very good performance for Millwall. And I think we do need to make, you know, you and I do a lot of history shows, and many is the program and the episode that we've done where we're languishing in the third division south in front of low crowds, you know. So this is a good season. I don't think there's any way you can or should hide from that. I think it's just that sense of so near, so far, and
it is there for the taking. I've got to be honest, because it's been a poor division for 2 or 3 years, to be quite honest. But this is probably the poorest it has been for a little while.
I agree.
Maybe I'm just mellowing a little bit, and I just think it's been a fairly decent season to be challenging at this point of the season. It's good. If we don't make it, so be it. As long as we give it our best shot. And yeah, well, I can't get upset about it. I don't know why, but it's just one.
I think that's age and that's mellowing. And we need a certain perspective on the football generally. I mean, when you look at the sums of money involved in the game,
we know we can't compete. We are punching above our weight. The ideal, I know we're talking about models and things like that, but the model that Luton, you look at Luton Town, they're a team probably the same size as us, probably not much bigger, not much worse off, but they get their recruitment right. And I do feel that if we get our recruitment right, we can be in this position permanently. It's not difficult to do, but you've got to get your recruitment right, and you've got to get the best out of the players. And I'll come back to what I said many months ago. Will we get a better manager than Gary Rowett? I don't think
it's
so.
I think it's a valid question. I mean, to follow football is, is a bipolar experience. You're either in the depths of despair or you're in the euphoria of post-match victory. I think you have to take a step back. I accept Harry's point about some of the football that's been played at times. There have been factors in there. We've watched it. Anyone that's watched some of the away games where it's been tedious, I mean, I'm thinking now Peterborough went up there, Blackpool got beat 1-0 up there. So there's been moments that haven't been so good. But here we are equally. You're judged on the bottom line, Neil, aren't you? And here we are not far short of the bottom line, just a few points short of possibly a shot at the big time if we can get our stuff together and actually get across the line. A lot of teams flopping and flapping around at the moment. Big chance on Monday. Give me a score prediction, Neil, for Easter Monday, mate. What do you think?
Do you know what? After that 4-1 last weekend, I think as you and Harry have said, and we've said on this programme, we need to get the crowd into play very early. We need almost need them to be booing and hollering, screaming half an hour before kickoff, really, don't we? Maybe everybody should take the knee, and that would have the desired effect of the crowd involved, wouldn't it? You know what I mean. We actually need
a spark of some sort.
Yeah, we need a proper evil Millwall atmosphere, and even if it's somebody steams into one of their players in the pre-match warm-up, we need
something to happen.
A first-minute challenge or something. We need something, and we need the Den to be at its most evil,
peak. You going for a win on Monday? You choosing?
I think it'll be another tight game. Hopefully, we haven't picked up any injuries today.
Didn't see any. I think Malone took a bit of a crunch, didn't he, at one point in the second half, I think it was.
He continued.
So, all well and good. We've lost Harry completely, listeners. His link's died. He's somewhere out in the rural part of...
Gary Rabbit won't allow him back on.
Suffolk or Norfolk.
I'm going to go for 2-1. My gut is telling.
I think it's going to be a close run thing on Monday. I think we'll do it 1-0 for me.
Achtung, Mehlball.
Huge thank you to Neil and to Harry for taking time out of their Good Friday evenings to join us on the show. Thought I'd go for a few of the post-match comments from the internet, from Twitter to be specific. Steve Evans says, feels like today was the chance. Looking at the other results, he feels that we won't get all of the other teams around us dropping points simultaneously again between now and the end of the season. We're still in the mix, says Steve, but 3 points now is even more of a must on Monday than it was before. Graham Payne, Lion Wall, says the 54th minute was definitely our moment. Thought Danny Mack had the best opportunity of the three chances, three in swift succession, listeners, on the 54th minute. Why was Tyler Bury not on the bench, asked Graham. It's a very good question. I think my own theory is, I don't want to get into another knock Gary Rowett zone, but I think he does err on the side of consistency and, you know, the midfielder, George Evans, who was on the bench with Ryan Leonard today. You'd have thought one or other of them was sufficient for the game. This was a must win as we went into it. So not to have a creative like Tyler Bury on the bench, to me, seemed, opportunity wasted. And as Graham says here, Tyler could have been given a go for the last 15. Surely we didn't need Hutch and Evans sitting on the bench. Shout out to JJ, who says, actually following on from a little bit of our own conversation, before everyone gets carried away, listeners, Sean Dyche is not going to come to Millwall. No, I'm afraid he's on a different level to us now. Richard Corley mentions Manchester City training at the Den today. And in actual fact, apparently Pep Guardiola after the game mentioned Paul Jiggins, our own Paul Jiggins, who passed away very sadly recently in the press conference held at the Den. Preston boss reported here by journalist Dave Seddon. Ryan Lowe, Preston boss, thinks that they should have had more and they should have been out of sight and they should have finished us off. And finally, Gary Rowett, speaking to the London News Online, says we're 3 points off the top six. We're well aware of the results. So it was important we didn't lose the game. I imagine that was driving that decision not to include Tyler Bury, listeners. Rightly or wrongly, take your pick. Rowett says we had a couple of moments in the second half where we created a couple of very, very good chances that could be the difference. Maybe there was a penalty shout at the end for Bradders. I thought that was a flimsy penalty shout personally, but you know, you grab whatever you can. Pretty even game, says Rowett. First half, we didn't put enough energy into the performance. No, we didn't. In a similar way to the Barnsley performance, I felt we didn't get going early enough, quickly enough. And, you know, it's okay to bring it, turn it around in the second half, which we largely did, but we didn't bring enough va-va-voom to the table for whatever reason. That was a disappointment, he says, but we grew into the game. Second half, we were much better. A point for us might be okay if we go ahead and win on Monday. Monday is must win, isn't it, dear listeners? No escaping that. So we're going to close the show now with a post-conversation voicemail that Harry sent to me. He's away on holiday at the moment, so big thank you to him for joining us. And he sent me a voicemail just to maybe correct the impression given during the course of the show that he's a little bit negative towards Gary Rowett. So anyway, we'll play out with Harry. Thank you for listening. We'll be back on Easter Monday, hopefully in the aftermath of a good result, or if not, to try and get some handle on the Mill season overall. So thank you for listening and arrivederci Millwall. Bye for now.
As my internet dropped out, I just want to add, which I'll send this now to Nick. Nick doesn't know I'm doing this, that of course I want Gary Rowett's Millwall to get promoted. And that's a very good point today. I'm just worried about the future. It doesn't mean I'm negative. I'm just worried. Okay. And basically, if we get the recruitment right in the summer, I want us to have another go next season. I'm just worried that I don't think I think a lot of people are down on Jed. And I don't think that's necessarily right. He has been fantastic. And for all the slaters of a phobia, and I've been that at this season at times, we need to replace his 10 goals. So, you know, they're big replacements to do, and we need to get it right if we want to be where we are or better next season and not at the wrong end of the table. We don't want to go back to League One. I don't want to, you know, not see Millwall in the Premier League and not see Millwall do well. So it all comes from a place of, what's the right word? Of terrified optimism / fear of going backwards. So yeah, up the Lions. Hopefully on Monday we're fantastic and we cut the gap to no points. But yeah, viva Millwall, viva the Axel, viva the Easter Monday joke. Sorry, Nick.
Thank you for listening to Aston Millwall. If you enjoyed the show, please head over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a cheeky little review. A river to Aston Millwall. Till next time.
Who do you want to watch?